Welcome to the November 2nd Drupalize Me podcast, where we talk about all things Drupal. Drupalize Me. Hey, so welcome to another episode of Drupalize Me. The podcast comes out every other Friday. And this week, we've got some fun stuff in store. So before we dive into all of that stuff, I'm going to tell you who we are, so we're not random voices on the internets. I'm Addison Berry. I'm the Director of Education at Lullabot and the Product Manager for Drupalize Me. And today, I have with me Sean Lang, who is a front-end developer at Lullabot, and his Drupal.org username is WebThingy. And we also have Angus Mack, who is a developer at Lullabot as well. And his username on Drupal.org is MacAngus. So, I don't know, he's got it all flipped around backwards. And then, last but certainly not least, we have Emma Jane Hogben, who is Emma Jane on Drupal.org. And she is an author and teacher. She has been playing with Drupal for over 11 years. Check it out. Her user ID number is 1773. What? She has written two books, Front End Drupal and Drupal User's Guide. Plus, she has a number of ebooks, which you can find on designtotheme.com, which is the place where she teaches themers how to kind of get it all together. She's been building websites and teaching for over 10 years, so the chica knows what she's doing. And she is also crafty, both in the sense of being smart and doing crafts. So, welcome to all you guys. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm pretty excited.
Today, what we're going to be talking about on the podcast is base themes. And I find that base themes are a confusing topic for a lot of people, even people who've been using Drupal for a long time. So, we're going to use these wonderful brains to sort of sift through that information and get some real-world experience and perspective on the whole base theme thing. Before we dive into that conversation, let me give you some quick news, update-y things. First of all, we released our Omega theme series. We started that series out last week with a couple of videos, and we have more of those coming out this week, and that entire series should be out within the next couple of weeks. So so check that out if you are interested in the Omega theme, which you may or may not be after you listen to this podcast. And then in other news, just a quick Lullabot podcast update. We are changing the schedules for all of our podcasts. So Drupalize Me comes out every other Friday. We're going to continue exactly on the same schedule that we have been. But we also have two other Lullabot podcasts. We have Insert Content Here and the Creative Process podcast. And those were coming out once a month, sort of alternating with the Drupalize Me podcast. But they have so much cool stuff lined up that we're finding that once a month is not often enough. So they're going to actually both be switching to twice a month or every other week schedule. So just a heads up to people that we will be having more than one podcast every week. So we're going to have a whole bunch of stuff coming out. So if you're interested in all that stuff, make sure you keep up because they're going to be coming out rapid fire. And then we got some event stuff. It's fall. It's event time. This weekend is Bagcamp in Berkeley, where I will be there, and Sean and Angus will be there, and a lot of other Lullabots are going to be there. Plus, we're doing a free workshop on Thursday and Friday before. All the workshops, they're free, but all the workshops are, like, sold out. Sold out is free. That's a little awkward, right? They're fully booked, yes. So Bagcamp, huge event, over 1,500 people. It's going to be a blast. If you are in the area, you should totally come to Bagcamp. If you're not in the area, though, there are a number of sprints that are going on around lining up with Badcamp that are going to be happening around the world. And so I know that there's one in Ghent, Belgium, there's one in Zurich, Switzerland, and there are, I think, two maybe in Germany that I've heard about, Frankfurt, maybe Berlin. So check out and see if your local user group is going to be doing some sprinting or working on some stuff during Badcamp. So it'll be sort of an international regional camp, which is fascinating. There's also a camp, there's the Euro camp in Lviv, Ukraine, also happening this weekend. Next weekend, there is Drupal Gora in Paris, France, Drupal Camp Chicago, Drupal Camp Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And then coming up soon on the horizon in November is Drupal Camp Toronto, Drupal Camp Arad in Romania, Drupal Camp Pakistan, which will be happening in Islamabad, sorry. And then the Kaohsiung Drupal Conference in Taiwan. I am sure that I said that wrong. But go check them out if you're around. All right, cool. Sorry, announcements done. Rocking the community. So let's talk base themes. And I would like to start this conversation by asking, what is a base theme and why would you possibly use one? So does anybody want to take a stab at that one?
Sure, I'll dive in. A base theme has many uses, many things it can be, but at its core level, a base theme is a place to start or a something that's already created some theme-y elements within Drupal to give you a place to really dive in and work from. I think that's kind of my personal definition.
Yeah, I tend to think of, well, so because there's base themes and then there's also sort of starter themes, right? So starter themes kind of have a lot of things in place and then you just sort of modify that. Like somebody builds, like puts all the basic elements in place and you lay out stuff and then you just take that theme and change the name and...
Yeah, starter theme versus a base theme that's got more of the, you know, some pre-processing or things that are in there that you know you need that you don't want to go back and redo. Versus, I think, like a starter theme that, you know, maybe is something you want to hack on or it's got more CSS or other elements to it that you want to build from.
Yeah. Base themes, I guess, do sort of more stuff. And they're designed, you don't modify a base theme. You inherit a base theme and continue to work from that. So, like, you have, like, a base theme. You put it in your site, but you don't touch the actual files, and then you create your own new custom theme and define it and say, I want to inherit everything from, you know, the XYZ base theme, and then you just do sort of your additions and modifications in your own different separate theme. To me, that was like the big confusion when base themes sort of first started coming out.
Yeah, they hook into some PHP template information or some other things that maybe Drupal core doesn't do, so that you then have that happening for you when you start to make your actual theme.
I did an outrageous amount of thinking around base themes for my DrupalCon Munich presentation, and I came to realize that there's three different kinds of base themes. Through the joy of the English language, they there's an alliteration for them. There are adapters, adopters, and annexers. So an adapter base theme modifies Drupal core. It's essentially like a reset for all the stuff that you hate about Drupal core. Adopters are going to take whatever the latest technology is and bring them into your base theme so that you can take advantage of it. So most commonly, a grid framework system like 960, SquareGrid, Blueprint. And under the adapters, that would be like Mothership, Xen, or Boron. And then the annexers they're essentially a whole new theming system, or templating engine. They are, in my mind, getting to the point where they're almost as powerful and with as much learning curve as something like PHP Template, which is our theming system. And in that category, we've got Adaptive Theme, Fusion, Omega. They've got their own UI. There's a whole bunch of moving parts to them. But I think it's really, it's almost dangerous to think of all base themes or starter themes as being identical and something that you can evaluate from the same pool, because they just don't have stuff in common for the average starting point.
Yeah, that's really true. I mean, looking at, from my own personal experience, even just looking at something like, say, Zen versus Omega, like the whole approach and way of using those as a base theme is just feels like very different. you're trying to wrap your head around sort of different things in a way to find your starting place, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what that base theme is going to do so that you can work from it. That they all have that in common, I guess, that they're a set of predetermined information that you then leverage.
Right.
I think the definition of the base theme is also pretty confusing in the Drupal world. You know, technically anything, you can subtheme any theme and treat that as a base theme, but it doesn't mean that they all should be. And I really like Emma's definition of the NX themes. There's always a group of themes that themers don't really like, but they do give a lot of values to a lot of people in the community. Mm. And they are the NX themes. And like I never had a definition like that. And that really helped me, you know, when I was looking at preparing for this podcast and looking at different things, different themes, and how to categorize them.
Yeah, I found when I attended Emma's session in Munich, and we'll put a link to that session in the podcast notes. So there's a video of that. I thought that was a really nice way of sort of breaking it down, because we do tend to generally in the community just sort of speak about base themes as one single simple quote-unquote concept. and then that's just part of the confusion, right? It sounds like a really simple thing. You're coming in, you're not sure. Someone says, hey, we'll get a base theme. Then you don't have to deal with sort of all the underlying stuff. The base theme will take care of all that stuff, and then you can just start, you know, working on all of your fun specific things you want to do. And it sounds great. And then you get in there and you're like, what is going on? Like, you know, it depends on...
Yeah, it's a vocabulary, not a term.
Totally.
Oops.
It is. Hey, Drupalisms. Ah. But yeah, so I found that breakdown very, very useful. And I guess related to that, like, you know, I mean, that's useful to sort of break that down. But like, what, and like Anga said, you know, there are some base themes that themers don't necessarily like. So what, I mean, like, if we use that sort of general categorization, like, what is sort of the purpose, or what's the use case? Like, where are these things directed, and how would someone coming and saying, look, I need a base theme, like, how do they figure out which one to use, or, you know, if they should use any at all?
I think they just jump on IRC and start asking. They just say, should I use Zen? And you say, sure. I remember a quote by Steve Young, one of my favorite quarterbacks, and he was asked, and you know, playing quarterback, he was asked, you know, who hits the hardest in the NFL, and he looked at the reporter and said, "The unblocked man." That's kind of how I feel when people ask about base themes. Well, which one's the best? Well, yes. What do you need to do? What's the information you need to get across? Like, there's a number of questions that I think that front end people and developers probably ask themselves, that I think that's probably a good conversation to have, is what questions do you need to ask yourself to determine what is the base theme that works for you or for that project?
Well, yeah, so what, well, I don't know, Emma, do you have like, in terms of the categorization, is there, like, if I was approaching, it's great if I can break them into category, but how do I even know which category probably best applies to me?
I like myself, I like picking one from each category and learning that particular tool inside and out. And I do think that there's different times when each of those categories is appropriate. So, for example, when I'm first teaching theming to new site builders especially, I really like starting with 960, and there's nothing sexy about it. There's nothing really exciting, but a lot of people who are new to theming are also new to grid frameworks. And I find that some of the other systems pile on so many things that it's really difficult to isolate what's happening in that particular part of the theme. So when people are just learning code, they're coming from a point-and-click site-building perspective, but they want to get more into theming, I really like taking people back to the beginning and just the simple 960. There's some neat sort of introduction to PHP stuff in there, not a lot of really complicated things happening. And then from there, they probably want to move to an annexing theme, but it really depends on not just the themer's needs, but also what are the long-term needs for this particular website. Mm-hmm. For example, I have a lot of clients who will maintain their own website, in which case it's really a preference of, do you prefer working in a text editor and working with PHP, or do you prefer a point-and-click style? And then I've got other people that I work with that are developers that will be handing off their site to a client. And my guess is that you enjoy web maintenance about as much as I enjoy web maintenance, which is to say, not at all. In which case, I would suggest an annexing theme, and whether that's an Omega, an adaptive theme, or a Fusion, because through a point-and-click UI, the client can ultimately control parts of the design of their site. So they want to make, you know, they want to add a new sidebar. They do all those things that clients tend to do when you hand off a website that you told them not to. If it's in a point-and-click UI, they can do it themselves and maintain some of that control, or at least sense of control and ownership over the site that they've inherited.
Right on. It's a little bit off track, but just for folks who may not know, does somebody want to explain what a 960 grid is, or what a grid system is generally? Because it does come up quite a lot generally today in the theming world, and in a lot of base themes are all like, hey, we have 960 grid, and it's like, what is that? And is it important?
The thing that I really like about a grid framework is that it makes columns work without having to do any extra CSS. So it essentially is a series of columns that you can assign to an object or a div in your website that say, make this 6 out of 12 units wide. And you don't have to worry about things not working correctly. You can sort of hear the, except when it doesn't, and we'll ignore that for now. Yeah, but
there's always the edge case.
It kind of works-ish usually, unless they've got IE7. but it's basically a bunch of the extra work done for you to line things up in columns. That would be my general introduction to what it is. The 960 part is the number of pixels wide, and not all, and this is where I kind of go, except if you're using a different size of screen or a tablet or a, so it's a three or 4 years old. Is it that old?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, probably, maybe more.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's been around for a while now.
Yeah, I would add on to that even by saying, you know, the job of a themer a lot of the times is to communicate with the designer and the developers and be the go-between that helps make those decisions and compromises along the way. And I think a grid system has been a really nice feature because it allows the designer. If you're working in something like a 960 grid, you kind of are able to get on the same language quickly, the same terminologies, things mm-hmm. where a designer wants to line stuff up a certain way. And if a theme is using some type of a grid system, you kind of get to accelerate that part of the conversation because you're already using the same vocabulary, which is sometimes a real huge plus.
Yeah. So I assume that everybody in this call has had to evaluate themes and play with base themes at some point. I'd kind of like to go around and get a sense from each of you, like, what is your, you know, I don't think we have the intention on this podcast of saying, you know, this is the theme to rule them all, or anything like that, because it simply doesn't exist. I mean, it's like Drupal, right? Like,
that's
Drupal
starting a bit of a war.
Yeah, basically, we don't want to be in the middle of that. but I'm curious about like each of your experience, like having to sort of research and make decisions. I mean, because there's also different aspects. Like, I know I can speak to it from, when I first came to Drupal, I came in as a themer. I was an HTML CSS person and everything like that. And we didn't really have this concept of base themes back then either. But I always did my themes from scratch. And, you know, I had everything crafted the way that I wanted to have them. And when base themes came along, I got really cranky because I was inheriting all of these things. And I was like, what is this stuff? Like, where is it coming from? Like, why is this happening this way? And I'd have to overwrite a lot of things. And so I was like, ah. But then recently, I haven't done a lot of theming in a long time, certainly not HTML and CSS, and so we're evaluating a new theme for Drupalize Me, actually, as we're upgrading the site to 7, and we're like, well, I don't know, should we look at base themes, and should we do a base theme, or should we just go do another custom theme like we did last time? And so I've been actually evaluating and playing around with some base themes, and then we just did the video series on Omega, so I spent a lot of intimate time with Omega sorting that out, and then I've been also playing with Zen, which has sort of been an old standard and one that I have played with in the past. And for me, it's like night and day, like I mentioned earlier, between those and like sort of those categories that Emma was talking about, and trying to sort out like what is it that we are actually trying to do? Like what do we want the base theme to provide for us? Like I want the base theme to sort of take care of all of the basic HTML and CSS stuff that I don't want to write from scratch myself anymore. and then I just want to be able to like jump into really making the theme look and behave that I need it to, but I don't want to do all the underlying work around it. And so that's sort of my goal. And so like when evaluating, that makes a huge difference for me. Whereas if I was making a site for, you know, my parents or something like that, and I wanted to build the site for them, and yeah, again, like have some way for them to be able to poke at it a little bit or something, you know, maybe I would use something like Omega, where I can say, well, you know, it's all set up and it kind of works like this. If you need to move something around, this is how you do it, but don't, you know, you'll have to pay attention to your CSS and stuff like that. So it totally changes my perspective when I'm evaluating these. And honestly, I still haven't even made a decision if I want to use a base theme like for Drupalize Me, or if we should just write a custom one from scratch again. So I'm curious, like, what your guys' experiences have been, particularly like with working with clients, because I get to make these decisions myself, and I can modify my design to fit whatever I do. But when you're working with a client, it doesn't always work that way.
For me, it's sort of the opposite. Like, I've always been lucky enough to always work from a design, so I pretty much know what the website is going to look like before I dive into looking for a base theme. So I've been lucky that way. So it really depends on the design and what are we trying to achieve. Like, there are a lot of things. The underlying goal for a base theme is just to give us a starting point so that we don't have to write everything from scratch to basically facilitate the front-end development. And it really depends on the design, and there are a lot of things to consider for me before picking a base theme. The biggest thing for the past few years, just even just responsive versus non-responsive, that's a big decision.
Yeah,
and once you have the decision, then you start looking at like each of those categories and see what is available for you, and there, I'm sure there are a lot of other things that people think about, like just for the past few years, how the web has changed so much.
And even interpretation of responsive, you know, as I was evaluating base themes and a base theme would say it's responsive, there's some interesting levels of responsive versus an adapting. And it does different things, you know, a flexible responsive versus a device responsive that, you know, you kind of have to read through, and I'd say 9.9 times out of 10, you got to install that base theme and see what it does.
Yeah. So can someone give a quick responsive definition?
Awkward pause. That's what I'll say. Whose definition would you like?
Yeah.
Who wants to be wrong first?
I was so relieved when Zeldman said that adaptive and responsive could be used interchangeably, but ultimately everyone's got some some different definition that they're expecting it, and like 9 times out of 10, your client isn't going to use the same definition that you thought you had nailed down after doing months of research, and then a new device comes out and everything changes again. Generally speaking, I like to think of it as being, remember in 2003 when your like columns didn't line up if your floats weren't working in CSS? It's intentionally a squishy website that collapses gracefully.
There you go. I like that. Intentionally squishy. But yeah, making that decision about responsive, you know, do you need a responsive website? And does the base theme you're working with have things that make that easier for you or harder for you to achieve that result? Would certainly, yeah, be an important thing. What about for you, Emma? Have you had to, you've obviously thought long and hard about it generally.
The whole, can you hear that like deep breath in as I go, oh goodness. So I have a lot of clients coming to me with Omega these days, and people come to me when things are confusing and they need technical support. So that may tell you something about Omega's capacity, and it may tell you something about what people are willing to pay money to have working properly. I personally, when I'm building out a new site these days, am likely to use Adaptive Theme or Fusion over Omega. And part of that, for me, the preference away from Omega is my friendship-based commitment to panels. And Omega's coming along in terms of its panel support, but it wasn't there initially. You can hear all of my hesitations on that. But you know, like I said, there's a lot of movement behind Omega. There's a lot of people using it, which means that there's going to be more support, more documentation. It's fabulous that Drupalize Me is putting together the video tutorials for it. But it's also a lot of working parts. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to learn Drupal and Omega on top of that, it's a lot. Like, it's a lot of machinery in there to learn. So I would say take a look at whether you are really enjoying the learning process of Drupal, and maybe you love learning new things, jump in and give it a try. Yeah. But if you are not enjoying the learning process quite as much, then I would go for something that has a lot more documentation and has a lot more in-theme help, which I personally have found to be lacking in Omega.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting because I found with working with Omega, the main, and I think this is probably going to, and because I did work with Fusion before as well. But in this whole idea of like having things that are in configuration for your theme was like a huge wall for me, because I'm coming from sort of old school Drupal theming and just, you know, you do it in the code, right? That's what theming is. And I found when I was like working with Omega that I would get very frustrated because I'd be trying to do stuff in the code and I was fighting against Omega.
Did you open up page.tpl.php and go, what? Where's my stuff?
Well, yeah, exactly. And it was just like, oh, I need it. And, you know, I need a wrapper here. And why is this so difficult to print out? And then it was pointed out to me, actually by my wife, well, couldn't I just make a new zone and then there would be a wrapper and I wouldn't have to do anything in code? And I was just like, oh. You know, and that was like, but it was a huge light bulb for me, because then I was like, aha, you really have to understand the configuration and the code side. Like, a lot of the configuration simplifies the code side of things. But if you're coming at it from a purely code perspective, throwing configuration into the theming mix can be super confusing until you start to wrap your head around that there's also configuration, and you should consider that first to solve your problems and then go work with the code from there. And once I sort of got that, I can tell you, working with Omega, just all of a sudden it's like the you know, the dam was broken and I could like move and I really understood it a lot better. But it was a bit of a rocky road for me to change, because it's a conceptual change for how you approach theming. For any of the themes that I think that are using configuration in some way, it's just a new way of approaching it that I certainly wasn't familiar with or comfortable with. Much more comfortable with it now. Yeah, it's kind of a different world.
One person's bug is another person's feature.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, there are tons of people I know who are, you know, site builders, and they do. They love being able to click. And it's a huge value to so many people who can just configure, get all of their basics of their theme in place, and then they can just basically kind of play with CSS, you know, and in terms of making it pretty, you know, like what colors do you want? How do you want to mm-hmm. have, you know, what font you want? And that tends to be the more fun side of it all for a lot of people. And so it's great. And honestly, I haven't done a lot of theming in quite a while. And so that's sort of appealing to me in a lot of ways.
I think that speaks to the fact that probably one of the biggest decisions that you have to kind of make when deciding on a base theme is you need to look inwards first, and you know, you have to decide and know what your skills are and what your limitations are, where you want to be, how much you want to learn. You know, I had mentioned, you know, learning Drupal and Omega at the same time is a pretty hefty undertaking. Are you really versed in CSS? Are you really versed in PHP? That could really help determine what base theme you want, as well as like what Angus talked about, that having a design and knowing what you need to end up with, and it's not a grid at all. There is no grid in existence in this design. Then starting with a grid-based theme really isn't going to provide any advantage at all. So comparing those two things is really important when making that evaluation. I've actually, this last 2 years, I've been able to work with Zen and Fusion and Adaptive and Omega. So I've actually been, you know, knee deep in pretty much all of them. And they all have some great benefits, and they all have some things that I don't like personally. But just because I didn't like them.
What's your favorite thing out of all of them? And then let's see if we can guess which one has it.
Oh, you know what? My favorite one now, effective recently, my favorite is back to Zen.
Oh, okay. Have you been using the Zen grids?
I am using Zen grids.
Yeah.
I used to preach the less gospel and love less, and still do. And I decided, you know, let me see what this SAS is about. And as I started to dive into SAS and Zen grids, now I'm full on into Zen. It's definitely apple pie right now for me.
Sweet.
Once you go SAS.
Someone want to give a quick, what is less and what is SAS, now that we're using acronyms?
Yeah, sorry. So those are both basically preprocessors for your CSS. So they're a way to write CSS and leverage variables and mix-ins and things that you might do in code to write CSS in a different way. Then the processor itself generates the standard CSS that you would get outputted that a browser needs to read. So it's kind of like having a dictation, and you're giving dictation to this your code, and then it actually puts out full sentences and paragraphs.
Nice. Yeah, I really, really like using, I've been using less, but SAS again, just as well. Like either way, whichever one you use, if you do a lot of CSS, it is so worth, I think, your investment in time to figure out what they are, because it gives you a lot more flexibility and efficiency, I think, in writing CSS. But that's a discussion for another podcast, probably. So I have one like kind of point, I guess, I wanted to toss out there, and that is, should you be trying to always use a base theme, or like should you find a base theme, learn it really well, and then just have that be the tool you have in the toolkit? Are there times when it still makes sense to just write it completely from scratch? Or
yes.
Not? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, definitely. There are times.
what is a good use case for screw it, write it from scratch? I mean, is that a use case? Is it a combination of your skill set?
I have actually just done one. When you are moving your website into Drupal, there are times that you just want to keep your HTML and CSS, and using a base theme wouldn't actually help me out, and I would have to probably go back to my sub-theme and override and undo a lot of the stuff that the base theme gives me. So that's one use case. And sometimes people just want the absolute control over everything, and they don't want the base theme to make any sort of decisions for them. So that would be a good use case for writing something from scratch.
Yeah. I've got a client right now who is migrating a site from Cold Fusion. Ladies and gentlemen, Cold Fusion. Yes. And and my recommendation, because they like the layout, they like everything about the design, and my recommendation was to, and I know that this will horrify a lot of themers, but take that page, the rendered output, save as HTML, and go in and tuck in your Drupal variables and start from that for the initial port. And that's exactly a case where a base theme is going to get in your way. If you just want that site, but now in Drupal, of course it's going to end up being retrofitted. But for that first version of it, for the first sort of port over, it's really easy to just take an HTML page and start shoving in variables. It's difficult to start with a base theme and then start shoving things in and dealing with Drupal on top of that.
Yeah, I mean, base themes do, I mean, they make assumptions for you. That's the advantage and the benefit. It makes a bunch of assumptions, so you can just work from those. But then again, if those assumptions don't line up with what you need to happen, then they just get in your way. So, yeah, very much a use case thing. All right, well, we should probably start winding down. One last point that I want, that we had our little points here, that I do think is an important thing to raise is the idea of using a community theme, something that's been provided by the community, versus your own made from scratch, just sort of like, you know, modules using contributed modules versus writing your own custom code and maintaining that. The idea being that if you have something you've downloaded from the community, those themes, just like modules, get bug fixes and get updates and get security releases, and themes have a lot of security holes in them sometimes. So it's nervous.
Yep.
What do you mean no SQL in template.php?
I put my SQL in page.tpl.php. No, don't do that, people. I'm joking, really. Don't do that ever. But yeah, so, you know, like, contributed themes have, you know, they get bug fixes. They have security fixes in them and stuff like that. And if you update your base theme, which you shouldn't be modifying your base theme, so you update it, then you get those. I'm always curious about, do people really update their base themes, though? Because, like, I'm always worried, like, it's making all these assumptions, and I've relied on those assumptions. What if those assumptions change? And will my sub-theme, like, freak out?
I have never updated a base theme.
I do within a whole, like, so if it's a 7.3 point something or other series, I definitely do the updates, because often it's fixing some CSS that deals with a browser bug that I hadn't thought to test on or those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't necessarily upgrade from, like, because I use the number 7.3, I wouldn't necessarily upgrade from a 7.3 to a 7.4.
Right.
But certainly minor releases within that, yeah, it's usually worth it for CSS and bug fixes and that kind of stuff. One of the ones that got me recently was, recently, gosh, it's been a year now. I need to stop saying the word recently associated with this one. It was a base theme that had responsive stuff that required an extra library for a JavaScript polyfill. And the base theme did not check correctly to see if that module was installed first. And so it gave errors in IE7, but only in IE7. So the upgraded version of the base theme did the correct check for the helper modules for the JavaScript polyfill, all of which is a really long way of saying it probably is going to help to do an upgrade.
Cool. Alrighty. So I hope that that's a lot of information for people to sort of sift through and hopefully give some direction. But at the end of the day, I think we're all kind of agreeing that it really depends on your use case. It depends on the skills and time that you have. And in order to evaluate a base theme, you really need to sort of sit down and install it and play with it and work with it to know, you know, if that's going to work for you. So,
Addie, you just made a whole bunch of people cry because now they have to do work to figure it out.
I know. We could just
international
make up,
tiers.
We could make up random, you know, recommendations for people, and then, you know, they would still cry.
I'm not laughing at your pain, people. I'm really not. It's just we've all been through it. Now you need to too.
Yep, indeed.
So Drupal theming's the hazing of Drupal.
Oh, Drupal is the hazing of Drupal. All right, so let's wrap up with, we did get a question from the community. We got this from JT Chambers through Facebook. Well, it's actually two questions. He kind of cheated a little bit. So I'll toss this out to you guys and just see what you think. Which theme, so he's asking us to like put a stake in the ground. Which theme is easiest for lower level end users to make one-off page layout modifications?
Define lower level, because I would define that as being more closely connected to the code and not new to Drupal, or like what kind of low end are we talking about?
I'm thinking that it's meaning not terribly experienced people, not like, you know, high end themer, but like more of a low end. That's how I'm interpreting this.
So maybe Dreamweaver, kind of understand what HTML is, what CSS is, kind of where stuff goes. I think maybe that's kind of the frame of reference.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Let's interpret it that way.
Yeah, let's just pick one.
We have a winner. I buzzed in. Did I win the car?
Ding, ding, ding. To make one page layout modifications. So I guess that means, like, you know, if you want to have one page be different than other pages, I would have to say I don't know that that's necessarily a theme
a
thing
theme
per
problem.
Se. That's yeah. that's a
well,
site building.
I guess maybe
thing.
you could say something like, I mean, kind of in that reference, you could say something like Zen, because it does have such a great track record with Drupal. It's got great documentation. If you need one off-page implementations, the concept of renaming template files, I believe, is even documented within the theme itself. So maybe Zen has that going for it, that it's got that really kind of documentation in line that can help you if you're getting started and need to do some individual template files.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, in the theme layer, you know, I mean, Drupal allows you to have one-off page template files, like the Drupal theme system sort of allows for that. I think for, you know, a lot of people, in terms of, like, creating different layouts for, like, a landing page or a home page or something like that, I mean, these days in Drupal, a lot of people don't really do that in the theme layer anymore, though. They do that more like using something like panels or display suite or those kinds of things. So I don't know if it's a purely theming thing, but I guess if you're asking for which theme, I don't know that any of them allow a theme doesn't allow that in terms of configuration, right? So that's just a Drupal theme creating a new template file thing.
I would probably turn the question around and figure out what does lower level end user mean? So your theme, because the theming layer already allows you to do one-off page layout modifications, I would actually pick a theme that is easier for this user, whereas looking for, instead of looking for a theme that allows you to do a one-off, because they all do.
I'm going to go back to my sort of towards the beginning, I said that I use 960 to teach theming. And if you are brand new but comfortable with code, I would say that 960 is a really interesting starting point to teach you just enough. But if you want full-on documentation, again, and you're comfortable with code, I absolutely agree with the Zen recommendation. If you are not comfortable with code, so if that lower level means entry level, beginner, that kind of stuff, my favorite is, it's still Fusion, although personally I've been building with Adaptive Theme. So those are my three stakes in the ground, four. I get people who come in and they are coming from a Dreamweaver background, I would say that none of those base themes on their own is going to be sufficient to help you make the transition.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of moving pieces involved.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So second question, part two of two parts, which theme offers the best combination of responsive design and layout flexibility?
It's the silence.
Awkward
again.
Silence.
It's like, oh wow. Gosh, wow, man.
It's not like when Drew Carey asks you how much the price of an item is and everybody's jumping up and down, is it?
$4.99.
That's the answer. Or we can just say the answer's 42. We're out of here.
Okay, so I guess I'll go. I actually do really like Zen, but once again, Zen, you do need to know theming a little bit more in order to use Zen. There's actually a framework that I really like called 320 and Up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went on to Drupal.org and I searched for 320 and Up, and I found a 320 and Up theme. And what it says is, you know, go to Omega.
Okay.
So I don't know. So, like, I really like Zen, but I would recommend Omega if pointing and clicking is something that you would prefer. Instead of writing code?
Yeah, I actually like Omega after going through my frustration with it and kind of coming out the other side. I actually think, like, if I just wanted to kind of bang something out really quickly, have it be responsive, you know, have it using the 960 grid, now that I understand it, now that I've sort of walked through that whole process and sort of understand what all the bits and pieces are, I feel like I could probably put something out. It would be responsive. You know, you can create all kinds of different layouts. If you use Omega with the Delta module, you can use context to create different layouts for different contexts. And again, you're doing a lot of stuff sort of in the UI with configuration to do all that stuff. And so it can be super flexible from that perspective. And yeah, I think I would, you know, like everybody else, I really like Zen in terms of just getting in there and theming and just doing the code that I know. So
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, for this second part of the question, your best bang for buck is actually going and learning CSS and it completely ignoring the base theme, because you can retrofit any HTML to be responsive. Mm. You can collapse columns down. You can do whatever you need to do. Responsive design, according to the original article, there was three parts: a squishy layout, squishy images or squishy sort of fixed media things, and media queries. And you can add that onto any toolkit. There's not anything, I would say, that a base theme should be doing for you, especially if you are looking at content first and you're not then trying to fit your design into a base theme's breakpoints.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think a lot of people think, oh, I need to do a responsive site. What base theme gives me responsive so that I can just sort of do that? But, you know, you don't need a base theme to have a responsive site at all. So, right on. Well, thanks a lot for the wonderful conversation. Hopefully we haven't confused too many people.
Do we have lovely parting gifts?
Meet me at Bad Camp. I have purple pony stickers. Actually, Sean has the purple pony stickers.
I do. I'm
they
all
were
excited.
Purple. They're purple.
Oh, no,
and
I'm really sad.
And they're reversed.
The bags
they
out of
they
the
point
cat.
The opposite direction. And they got shipped to Sean, so I still haven't gotten my hands on them yet. But we're handing them out at Bad Camp, so I'll save one for you, Emma.
I think there's three left, Eddie. We got them up at my kids' elementary school. So.
I was
the hero dad of the fourth grade girls.
Right on. I went to Drupalhagen this past weekend, and Drupalize Me was a sponsor there. And so you know, I just put stickers out on the table, and I had Lullabot stickers and I had Drupalize Me stickers and the Drupalize Me pony. And let me tell you, man, those ponies were gone. And then I was like, you know, people like the Lullabot sticker, but they were like, can I get this sparkly pony? So pretty awesome. Well, yeah, we'll probably also have another special limited edition one for Sydney. So we haven't come up with that yet, but I'm thinking about it.
Oh, I thought it was that one was upside down.
Totally upside down. We're gonna make the water go in the opposite direction. Wait,
there we go.
No, that's something else entirely.
Maybe your pony needs to have Pegasus wings from the Sydney Opera House.
Ooh. Maybe we need to have like a kangaroo instead of a pony.
Ooh.
Or koala.
Oh, that would be cute. I could see a koala with like Drupal eyes. We'll see what we come up with there. All right. Well, anyway, thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it. I should mention before we close out here real quickly, if you do have questions about this podcast, ideas for new podcasts and that kind of a thing, you can always let us know. You can do it through Twitter. So twitter.com/DrupalizeMe is our account there. Also on Facebook, same thing, facebook.com/DrupalizeMe. Or you can go to drupalize.me, our website, and /contact. You can use our contact form there and let us know what's on your mind. We also use Twitter and Facebook to let people know what our upcoming podcasts are going to be about so that you can ask questions and get your question on the podcast. So, yeah, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you guys taking the time. And I look forward to Bad Camp. And I'm really, really going to miss you being there, Emma. So,
I'm missing not being there. I hope everyone has an awesome time, though.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
See y'all later.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
That was kind of weak.
I don't want to pull.
It's my sad voice. Bye.
Bye.
That was awesome. Totally putting that on at the end.